Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our special guest, executive director of the National Education Association Rhode Island Teachers Union, Robert Walsh. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Back in July, the National Education Association Rhode Island pulled its support for the re-election of Governor Gina Raimondo. Union members were upset when the governor vetoed a so-called evergreen contract bill. The NEA called Raimondo a product of Wall Street and says she's incapable of understanding the needs of working Rhode Islanders. So to look forward a little bit here, Bob Walsh, does your union have a candidate that it's going to support in a primary next year against Governor Raimondo?
We have not got any acceptable advertisements to the classified ad we were running. We still hope, of course, that Governor Raimondo will see the light on the continuing contract bill because we're always open to all possibilities in politics. But obviously, we were very upset. The underlying issue we felt was very straightforward. Collective bargaining in the public sector in Rhode Island, when it went into place for uniformed folks, police, fire, and more recently correctional officers, has a binding arbitration process that allows contracts to be settled by practice and court decision for the first 42 years of collective bargaining for teachers and municipal employees, including support staff in the schools. Contracts stayed in effect until a new contract replaced it. There was a court decision that was an aberration in East Providence 8 years ago. This bill would have corrected that court decision. We were surprised. This is not the binding arbitration solution that we still believe in and are still pushing for. This is a compromise to keep labor peace. And we look no further than the state budget. The budget expired. The old budget stayed in effect. When contracts expire, the old contract should stay in effect. So we were surprised. We were shocked. We were shocked about the veto.
Before we bring in Scott and Maureen, could you see your union supporting a Republican like Alan Fung or any other Republican over Governor Raimondo for governor next year?
Well, it's too early to say, but I do recall. So as the way someone asked the question, I said, do you mean the NEA supporting a Republican mayor of Cranston over the Democrat? That sounds like something that happened in the 1980s. And in fact, the NEA did support a Republican mayor of Cranston in the 1980s who did become governor. So you never know what happens in politics.
Mr. Walsh, I recall the last time you were here after the election of Donald Trump and we were asked about continuing support for Clay Pell or what else. You said unequivocally, this is a time for us all to be united. We have to stick together.
Yes, I absolutely said that. Ian interviewed me right after the vote and said, you know, does this get you out of that pledge because your members are mad about it? I said, no, this makes my life significantly more difficult. Democratic unity, of course, is a two-way street, and we got run into by a truck going the other way on that two-way street. And I did say that, and I spoke not only with our federal delegation about it. This hurts. We were prepared to be involved in a coordinated campaign to help the top of the Democratic ticket. We obviously will still be working hard to get Sheldon Senator Whitehouse reelected and Congressman Langevin and Cicilline. This makes it harder. The best way to do that is coordinated resources and get in on a knocking on doors and talking about a ticket.
Yeah, I just don't understand this from the governor, either on a policy standpoint and certainly as a political calculus. I don't think it's just because of the teachers union. Frankly, it's pretty hard to get the AFL-CIO endorsement if you don't have the teachers and the state employees. In fact, I'd argue it's just about impossible.
It's impossible because need a two-thirds majority to get the endorsement, and those three groups combined, as we are part of the AFL-CIO, exceed one-third.
So you're saying you have the votes to block Governor Raimondo from getting the Rhode Island AFL-CIO endorsement next year?
Yeah, we also had the votes to get her the Rhode Island AFL-CIO endorsement, which is why this is so puzzling.
Let's move on and talk about the Paw Sox issue. The Rhode Island Senate is getting ready to stage a series of hearings on the Paw Sox proposal for a new Pawtucket Stadium starting September 14th. The city of Worcester is also pursuing the AAA baseball team, although it remains unclear what kind of financial commitment Worcester might be willing to make. Lawmakers outside of Pawtucket seem to remain pretty skittish about this Paw Sox Stadium deal. Robert Walsh, so how do you see this playing out?
I think that math and logic should prevail and the stadium proposal should pass. Also in the past, I've said on the show as well that it should pass because the math works. The revenue generated by the team that we would lose if they left the state is more than sufficient to cover the bonded costs that would be go to the taxpayers. And unlike the Providence deal, which rightfully went down on a mathematical basis, there the owners would have kept the stadium. Here the public gets to keep the stadium and all the other elements involved. This one just makes sense. It also makes sense from a Rhode Island Pride standpoint. And I'm a townie on this. I started life in Pawtucket. I learned to ride my bicycle in that parking lot, so I've got a little personal bias. But I'll tell you what. If you told me it was a break-even deal, I'd still say do it. If you told me we were going to lose $200,000 or $300,000 a year to subsidize their existence and staying in Pawtucket, and not counting any ancillary businesses that come in, I'd still say this deal makes sense. You know, the Convention Center, the Civic Center, the Ryan Center, those were important projects to Rhode Island, and we still subsidize those projects, but they are for the greater good of Rhode Island. And I think keeping the Paw Sox here also falls into that category. The fact that the math actually works is a bonus.
Scott, at this point, it seems like the Senate is more supportive of the deal than the House. What would it take to bring reluctant lawmakers along, in your view, to support this?
I believe, actually, Speaker Mattiello's right when he said we need some strong leadership from the governor. I think Governor Raimondo has to get out there and really push this thing. The reason being, as we know, Speaker Mattiello's not going to move without her support. We know that. The good news here is I think the Senate, by setting up these hearings and holding them all around the state, is being smart, because then people will actually have the chance to go and voice their concerns. And hopefully this will make them feel less like it's a done deal. And please, my friends in the media, will you please stop this false equivalency that this is another iteration of 38 Studios? It's ridiculous. That has nothing to do with 38 Studios.
How do you see the outlook on the Paw Sox, Maureen?
I think the outlook looks good. I agree with both of you in the sense of the merits and the way the process is moving along. I think the governor has started to step out. She's made a couple of statements about the deal does make sense. I think this is a nice opportunity for Senator Ruggiero to sort of put the Senate out in front. And I think the hearings are going to be, you know, well-placed, give people a chance to vent. But it seems to me, I don't think Worcester's a serious contender, because there's no numbers yet, and they've got to move as far as getting this together. So I think the stars are aligning. I think the overall leadership of the state is coming together and moving this along. And I expect, if they have a vote in November, I expect it'll pass.
Montreal makes me more nervous than Worcester, because there are deep pockets there and they're desperate to get a team back. They'd prefer to have a major league team, but this is as close as you get to a major league team.
I don't think they'd let it go to Montreal.
We're very short on time here, but Bob Walsh, you're a former banker and someone who knows a lot about pensions. So I'm curious about your view on how the pension fund for 2,700 current and former Our Lady of Fatima Hospital employees is in deep trouble. The retirement plan was essentially left as an orphan due to a 2014 transaction involving the hospital in North Providence. What do you make of this situation?
It had to be bad actuarial math and not understanding the difference between analyzing a plan on a going basis with a continuing corporate entity funding it and an orphan standalone terminated plan. It's the difference between, if you ask me, Ian, can I afford to pay my mortgage? And I say, yes. And then you say, oh, by the way, I quit my job yesterday. It's a different answer. And it is a shocking thing. And there are 3,000 people who are suffering because of it. And hopefully the legal folks will figure out how to go after the deep pockets that were responsible in making this thing work. And those people will be made whole.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Executive Director of the National Education Association Rhode Island Teachers Union, Robert Walsh.
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for joining us. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.